The gospel is supposed to be good news, isn't it? But if you're like me, you're finding a little hard to find in today's gospel reading, what with a discouraging encounter between Jesus and a man seeking spiritual advice, challenging words about money, and what seems like a pretty unrealistic promise on Jesus' part about the rewards of following him. What's a preacher to do this with this? And what are you supposed to do with this? And how does this fit with an opportunity today to talk with Pastor John about community organizing in Rwanda and beyond? Well, I won't pretend that there isn't great challenge in today's gospel reading, but I will proclaim that there is plenty of hope along with that challenge, and the promise, as always, of grace available to all. Amazing grace available to all. Let's begin with the encounter Jesus has with a man who came running up to Jesus. He's eager, you see. He doesn't want to miss this opportunity to ask a burning question. "Good teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answers him, "You know the commandments." And the man answers, "I've kept them since I was a child." Then Jesus says, "There's one thing more." "What? There's more? Go sell what you have and give it to those in need, and you will have treasure in heaven." "Oh," and then Jesus says, "then come and follow me." At this, the man looked shocked and went away sad because, we're told, he had a lot of possessions. Clearly, this wasn't what he'd expected to hear from Jesus. Still, we don't know exactly what happened afterward. And really, we don't know if his sadness and shock meant he wouldn't do as Jesus asked. Mark simply doesn't tell us. We can hold out hope that, though he was shocked and sad, he eventually did what Jesus said. But even if he didn't, we can be sure that Jesus loved him no less, that Jesus didn't give up hope for him. That's what we know from the reading from Hebrews, that Jesus sympathizes with our weakness, knowing what temptation feels like, and that when we come to him in our need and despair, we'll find not condemnation, but mercy and grace and help. That's why Mark tells us when Jesus gave that answer to the man, he looked at him with love, which is never dependent on what we do or don't do. So let's hold out some hope for the man who didn't get the answer he was hoping for, because with God, that's definitely not the end of the story or the relationship. Well, that's that. But no, because after the man left, Jesus spoke to the 12 who'd obviously overheard the encounter. And Jesus pushed on what he told the questioner. He said, "How hard it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Why, it's harder than getting a camel through the eye of a needle," which was probably an allusion to one of the city gates, the needle's eye. You can wonder if it was a matter of height or width or just the recalcitrance of a camel, but whichever it was, it would be difficult. Well, said the disciples, then who can be saved? To which Jesus responded, with human beings, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus is reminding the disciples that discipleship and being a part of God's family is not a do-it-yourself challenge. It's an opportunity made possible by God willingly over and over again. Because this is not an onward, ever upward activity. And he wanted his disciples to reflect on the truth that the kingdom, membership and participation in God's community is an inheritance given to all God's children. It's not something we earn. And in God's way of doing things, it doesn't differ in value depending on our age or our rank or our demonstrated loyalty. It's simply a gift, a gracious gift from the one who is our Abba and Ima, our father and mother, and who loves to give us gifts. Further, this inheritance is not like the inheritances the world is used to. It's not about money or property or estate. Rather, it's the gift that is being called a child of God, equal to every other child of God, and guaranteed not wealth or a better house in heaven or power and authority over others, but rather the gift of being an everlastingly loved and treasured child of God, no better than any other, and the recipient of God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, when we fail to be our best and truest self, the children of God. Well, of course, now we hear from the disciples. As usual, Peter speaks for them all. They, of course, have already seen how difficult it is at times to follow Jesus, and how others reward them, not with praise and riches, but with scorn and ill treatment. Not exactly the rewards they were hoping for. Because as Peter says, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. Or maybe he meant to accent another word in that sentence, we've. Perhaps impressing on Jesus that unlike the man who just walked away, they had left everything to follow. But Jesus doesn't sympathize. And he tries to help Peter and the others think about what their inheritance is and what it does. It gives them a community. It's not a gift meant to benefit only them. Rather, it enrolls them in a worldwide, centuries-wide community of people, most of whom they would never know and probably wouldn't accept if they were doing the enrolling. And that means that Jesus' disciples then and now are called to use who they are and what they have, not just money or property, but also intellectual capital, as Pastor John likes to put it, and their physical abilities to create communities that look like God's own vision of community, one where everyone has enough, where the earth is cared for, where we live to love and care for each other, where sufficiency for all means abundance for all. You, the members and friends of Peace, have discovered a lot of different ways to do this, and your generosity and creativity are beautiful to see. But today, I hope you will all stay to hear what faith-based community organizing through Faith and Action International is doing in Rwanda and other African nations, in El Salvador, and in Haiti. I'm thinking especially today of Mumia in Rwanda, the first place in Rwanda I visited to experience Pastor John's organizing work. That was maybe 15 years ago. On that first visit, we drove in Pastor John's Land Rover. There was no road into or out of the village. My body felt every stone and every rut. The memory is still there in the muscles. There were no medical facilities. Women who were having difficulties in childbirth had to be taken by boat on the river, someplace else, another country, to get care. Many died on the way. There was no market to buy or sell food. In the meeting we had in the church, I asked those gathered, men and women and children, how can you get what you need and deserve for your families, for your community? They pointed at me, meaning not just me, but people like me from some other country, sending money, supplies, building things, and making decisions for them. But I replied no and pointed back to them. And you'll see and hear in Pastor John's PowerPoint today, and with your own eyes, if you travel to Mumia yourself, the amazing things that have been accomplished by the hands and brains and muscles and voices and active participation of community members, young and old, women and men, boys and girls. And I think of people like Speciosa and Ezra, who first volunteered their time to learn how to organize and now are teaching others, not just in Rwanda, but in other countries, how to do that organizing and encouraging them that they can do it so that the life together of abundance and compassion God means all people to have can come to be, even against great odds. In one of our traditional offertory offering prayers, we pray for strength to share ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Jesus doesn't want what we have to shut us off from our neighbors, because when we're shut off from neighbors, we're also shut off from God, who comes to us in our neighbor. And Jesus is asking us to remember that what we have, our wealth, is not just money. It's also talent and muscle, the ability to work together to craft solutions to problems, and to dream dreams of providing for not just one person or family or group, but for a whole community. The things that make for life and peace, for health and opportunity. Today we're also blessed to have Father John Bauman with us, the person whose vision of community organizing arose from his commitment to the gospel and his love for God's people. And Ron Snyder is here, who was my mentor when he was director of Oakland Community Organizations, now called Faith in Action East Bay, and has taught many people, ordinary people like me, that we can do it together. Through your partnership with our South African brothers and sisters, you at Peace have learned about Ubuntu. I am because you are. You are because I am. It's the uniquely African way of restating what Jesus and his Abba declared the most important commandment. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So today, in our scripture and in Jesus' own example of giving his all to draw all people to himself and also to each other, take heed and take heart from his words and from his promise to continue to encourage, equip, and renew our desire to be true disciples, bringing God's vision of the family of God, the community of love on earth, not just in heaven. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen.